you in the whole 6010.
Whoa, Field. We lost everything.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, no, keep going, though.
I keep going. Okay, welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. Does that include the return that I can't?
No, I don't know. You may or may not.
Return will come hopefully in just 1 second. Hello and good morning to everybody who's listening or watching us live, if there is a stream to watch live. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, happy Friday to you.
Last preseason show of 2020. When we return next Tuesday, which is when we're gonna take Monday off for Labor Day because, you know, we labor here. We're gonna take Monday off to celebrate those that actually do labor.
Sure.
Honestly,
yeah. No, we're grateful for that.
It'll be week one.
Yeah,
the 2020 NFL season. We'll be back here on Tuesday talking about week one matchups, which I haven't looked at all.
Oh, that's good. You sound very prepared.
Not at all. Okay.
Well, the Chiefs have Clemson next Sunday. You can talk about that throughout the week.
The Chiefs get Clemson?
Clemson on Sunday, yes.
Dabo always has him pumped up. That'll be a tough matchup.
Yeah, it will be a tough one for Patrick Mahomes. They might only win by 50.
Right.
Thursday night, Chiefs-Texans. Cannot wait. Hello, Daniel. You are back.
I am back, Field GAs. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Is there a chance the Chiefs are... I committed Paul Daltrey with our friend Bill Simmons the other day, and Bill brought this up, and I thought this was... I hadn't really heard anyone bring this up before. Is there a chance that the Chiefs are the 2007 Patriots, where they just... they roll everybody. Not only do they win, but they win significantly. They just roll everybody. Because, I mean, you remember that year. I mean, the Patriots were, you know,
on the sidelines for all those games,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were part of the organization back then.
It's possible. Yeah. I think that reminds me sort of...
There's an offense that could do it, it's that one.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the Ravens last year came kind of close to it. If you look back, I mean, last year... of those 12 games they won to finish the season, 8 of them were by at least 14. They beat Brady and Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson in a span of 4 weeks, and the closest margin was 14 points. So the Ravens were waxing people last year as well. I love
I've heard of all those guys, by the way.
The no remorse show by Belichick that year was tremendous. I'm sorry to bring this up. One thing, because we're going to get to it, actually will segue us
to
the team we're going to talk about.
I know what you're going to talk
about. Go for it.
But
there was a game
when
the Patriots were up, I think, like... was it 35-0 at halftime against the Washington football team?
Yeah.
And Matt Castle came in the game, and there, I think was it a pick six? He threw like one pick six, or maybe like fumbled the snap, snap, and Belichick put Brady right back in.
Right.
And they go 56-7 was the final score, something ridiculous.
And the game, by the way, the game was in Washington.
Yeah, the game was in D.C.
I mean, like...
felt like a Patriots home that year.
Yes, 100%.
The reason why that segues, though...
Yeah, no, I remember that, which is hard because there's a lot of painful Washington memories, but that one does stick out.
You've got thick skin, you know that? I appreciate that about you.
You know, the franchise is what it is. I've been a fan of it since I was 5 years old. And
little to the soil.
And I'm hopeful, as awful as a lot of the stories are that have come out, I'm hopeful that they spark real and significant change with that franchise because it needs to happen.
Yeah, I think we've got the right leadership in place at the coach level and the president level, and we'll see if the organization can make notable strides. But they did make a roster move this morning, Matthew. Before the show, Friday morning, the team decided to release Adrian Peterson, veteran running back, a player who is a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Whenever he decides to hang it up 5 years later, he'll head to Canton. I was surprised. Were you surprised by this news?
I was indeed.
Yeah, very surprised.
First off, despite his age, very productive last year. He's been productive as a member of Washington. He is very popular within the clubhouse. He's a clubhouse leader. He's a team leader. He's a veteran guy who, from a football perspective, does things the right way. You know what I mean? Like, has a lot of respect in that locker room, both from fellow players and coaches. Coaches like him... coaches like Adrian Peterson because he sets a tone in the locker room for how you conduct yourself as an NFL player, at least on the field. And what I was going to say, so I was very surprised because, by the way, he's been productive in camp so far this year. He's been running with the ones. But I think Washington understands, and we've talked about this, going to be a long year. And they need to get creative on offense. And they also need to see what they have. So, if you have been drafting Antonio Gibson, you know, in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round, I've seen a wide range of where he goes in various drafts.
Sure.
You feel pretty good this morning because he just got a significant value.
Yeah. So I want to level set because yesterday I sort of talked about how I'm kind of just avoiding this backfield entirely.
Sure.
And I'm trying to be consistent here because part of it was that I don't think this offense is going to score a ton of touchdowns. But I'm also cognizant of the fact that 200 carries just became available this morning. And Antonio Gibson seems like the player that's generated the most buzz during training camp. Seems like the most explosive of the backs they have. That also includes Bryce Love, also includes J.D. McKissic, also includes Peyton Barber. It seems like he has been the one that has been the most tantalizing during preseason based off of the reports from those who have been on the ground in D.C. this season. So I'm more optimistic about it. But how optimistic do you believe I should be now about Antonio Gibson, who, Matthew, 33 career carries in college for Antonio Gibson?
100%. It's a small sample size, but you just look at him. I want to say he's over 230 pounds. I'm like, he's a big guy. You know, despite the fact that he's really fast and very versatile, and you see the highlights and you see the pass-catching ability, like, he's built like a guy that can be a bell cow back. He's built like somebody that can go between the tackles.
Yeah.
And just knowing what Scott Turner likes to do on offense, I mean, we saw it last year in Carolina and just how they use Christian McCaffrey. And again, I'm not comparing the two players and saying that Gibson is going to be CMC, but we know how creative he likes to get with his running backs, both as a runner and in the passing game. And I think you see Gibson in that similar role. I'm glad you brought up J.D. McKissic. He's going to have a role. He's going to be a James White, Tariq Cohen, Chris Thompson type in this offense. He's going to have value in deeper PPR leagues as a third down back. And by the way, don't count out Bryce Love just yet. But if I'm ranking them, you know, I mean, Antonio Gibson is, to me, the target of this backfield, and I think by a reasonably fair margin as we sit here today.
He'll end up as an RB4 for me, maybe closer to 30 than he is for 40 amongst those RB4s. But Kyle, I think, wants to get in here with some Adrian Peterson love, or perhaps a graphic.
We've got
of some
a
sort.
Full Hello. Screen. Yeah, just to pay attention to just how good Adrian Peterson's been. One of the best of all time. Just wanted to, you know, give him his praise.
Hey, homage, and, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
Where is that full screen? Homage. Hopefully it's coming up. It's coming up right now. Maybe it is. Oh, we have Kyle. Hello, Kyle.
Oh,
you want to pay homage.
Yeah, you're on camera.
Yeah, no, out of the bunker for right now. Tennis taking over, so we're just doing what we can over here.
Okay, good stuff there, Kyle. Right. We'll get back to you at some point throughout the show with lots of information or questions we have regarding information.
Right. Well, what was his point about Adrian Peterson? Was it
he's just one of the all-time greats.
Oh, that was it. I thought he had some amazing stat or something.
I'll give you an amazing stat.
Sure. What do you got?
He's awesome. He's a great running back.
You know what? No one beats Field Yates at the research. I have to tell you guys that.
Well, you know what?
Here's what I will say. I think Antonio Gibson should be a little bit higher. I understand that. I understand where you're saying if you're going to put him somewhere in the 30 to 40 range.
Yeah, like low 30s.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get him in any draft. I think he will go significantly higher than that. I think he will go between the 20 and 30s.
Interesting.
I think he's going to go in the like 25 to 30 range, running back 25 to 30 range.
Sure. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I mean,
because the potential upside.
Sure. Well, yeah, I can't wait to watch the player. I mean, he's sort of transitioning to a new position as we talked about, but also has plenty of the requisite skills for running back. All right. No surprise necessarily, but officially announced yesterday, reported yesterday, I should say, Cam Newton is the Patriots starter and a team captain, Matthew. We talked about Cam Newton the minute he signed with the Patriots back in late June. We talked about it at the beginning of this season, or this preseason, I should say. You have him at quarterback 12. I have him at quarterback 12. Daniel has him at quarterback 10. Part of the consideration was A, the health, and B, the ever so slight chance that he wasn't the starting quarterback for the Patriots. Now it's locked in. Sam, does Cam Newton need to move up in our rankings?
Yeah, probably. But to me, the concern on Cam Newton isn't do I think he was going to be the starter? Mm. He's going to be the starter. We knew that. Isn't do we think he's going to be productive? He's going to be productive. I believe he will be. It's health. And can he withstand a 16-game season? It's been a while since we've seen Cam Newton survive a 16-game season. You know, and I would ask Stefania Bell. You know, when I think we're having some technical difficulties with her.
We may have her. But
we have her?
Yeah, we do. All right.
Oh, good. Stefania. Where's Stefania Bell? Let's go to the Chateau de Cone. There she is.
You've been consistent on Cam, Stefania. What is your take on Cam's ability to stay healthy this year?
For all 16 games.
Yeah, look, it's a gamble, right? He hasn't done it recently, and it's a lot to do with his style of play. And you guys remember when he was with the Panthers, they talked one season a few years back about less designed runs and trying to change the way he played, and it just wasn't effective because it really constrained him as an athlete. He is a physical guy and he needs to play that way. But I do think over time he's learned that some of the things that he did that literally hurt him, like diving with an outstretched arm. One of the best at the quarterback sneak in the end zone is Cam Newton, but if you dive with your arm extended and people land on it, that puts you at risk for a shoulder injury. And in fact, that's how he has aggravated his shoulder in the past. So I think he's learned, but we're not going to know till we see it this year if he's learned enough to actually stay on the field.
Okay,
that's why I don't dive. I always keep my arms very close. I'm very alligatory arms.
Right.
Do you because play I don't want
football? Or are you just a Madden guy?
I just don't want anyone to land on my arms, just in general. Like, you know, at the cafeteria or anything like that. Like,
oh,
I keep the tray
okay,
close.
Gotcha.
At the post office, I keep the mail close. Gotcha. Like, just, yeah.
Well, you're not much of a rebounder in basketball either.
No.
Short arms, yeah.
No, just, you know, it was a lot of that.
Gotcha.
Just like, yeah, because okay. I don't want anyone landing on my arms like they did with Cam Newton.
Oh, okay. Got it. I did not realize that until right now. You learn something new every day.
There you go. I've been helping. But, like, so we're, like, I think I have Cam at QB 13 slightly higher than consensus where he's going at QB 14. I may move him up a spot or two, but I think he is another poster child for why you can wait on quarterback, why the position is so deep this year. And I've said this before, I think as long as he is healthy, he is going to be a viable fantasy starter. I think he will be good. I think that Josh McDaniels will get the most out of Cam Newton. We've talked about this before, but I want to just bring it up one more time. For everyone that says, like, well, he's not Tom Brady. Like, Josh McDaniels was the head coach of Tim Tebow. When Tim Tebow was good at fantasy,
right?
You know, struggled in the NFL, but he was a good fantasy quarterback when he was in Denver. Like, you know, he was the offense coordinator when Jacoby Brissett had to start for the Patriots and ran how many?
He had nine rushes. Longest rushing touchdown in, I think, 40 years. Longest
like
design
yeah.
run in 20 years. It was impressive. You know, I wonder, and I'm not as much of a narrative. Like, we've talked about, like, I sort of downplay the idea that, like, Brady gets to the 1 yard line and throws or rushes for his own touchdowns to prove some people wrong. Cam's the one narrative that I'm sort of like, I'm having a hard time not maybe buying into, right? Because it's been the entire league said no to Cam. The entire league said no for months.
Right.
And this is like, and this is not a guy who's like, you know, unproven. This is a former NFL MVP. So a fun player to watch this season. Time now, though, for a little bit of news or noise.
I hit the sounder.
Okay, the sound.
News
there it is.
Or noise.
Loud noises!
Daniel, you're back.
Fields Yates.
Yeah.
Ronald Jones is our guy, says Bruce Arians. News or noise?
What day is it?
I don't know. It's a day that ends in Y.
So are you reading the note from August 4th, not September 4th?
It's weird. It just says Ronald Jones, quote, is our guy.
Oh, no. That was on the August 11th note.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes.
Wait, say it one more time.
Ronald Jones is our guy.
No, wait. That was last Wednesday's show.
Right.
Yeah. And so they haven't.
But by the way, if you look at the note from 2 years ago, I think he said Andre Ellington is our guy.
But LeSean, as we know, some of the notable moves this offseason or this preseason. So LeSean McCoy went back to the Bills, right? And Leonard Fournette got an extension from the Jaguars, right?
I don't believe that's what happened. We really should update
McCoy?
Your note. He is now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as is Leonard Fournette. As is Keyshawn Vaughn, their third-round rookie. As is Raymond Calais, I believe their sixth-round rookie or seventh. So all those guys are now in Tampa Bay. Dare Ogunbowale no longer is. He was released.
But Ronald Jones is their guy.
Ronald Jones is their guy. That is what Bruce Arians says.
What did I miss?
You missed Bruce Arians saying that to the press like he always does.
So this is noise. All right. Pretty good bit right there. He is noise, right? I mean, this is noise.
Right.
It's noise. And so here's what I would say is that it's possible Ronald Jones leads the Bucs in carries this year.
Sure.
But nothing that they've done suggests that Ronald Jones is going to dominate touches in a way that could actually lead him to being a top 15 running back, because this offense, based off of the amount of touchdowns we believe it will score this year, could yield a top 15 type running back.
Yep.
But I don't think anything about the workload for Ronald Jones that I currently project suggests that he's going to be a top 15 runner.
That I 100% agree with. To me, if there's any, and I agree with you that it's noise, but if there's any piece of news to take out of it, it's not necessarily that you feel great about Ronald Jones. It's that maybe you can pump the brakes a little bit on Leonard Fournette. And you and I both were throwing some caution there. I have seen a lot of other people on fantasy Twitter. Our own Tristan Cockcroft has him as a top 16 running back. So I've seen there are people out there that are very, very bullish on Leonard Fournette as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. You and I and Secret Squirrel, I don't want to speak for you, Daniel, but I don't. Your ranking suggests that we are not among them.
Correct. You're not among what?
That the three of us collectively are not among the people that are very
truthers right now for Leonard
Fournette. Pro Leonard Fournette. That all of us are like, none of the three of us feel like he's going to be a top 16 running back, which is where Tristan has him. And I've seen other people on fantasy Twitter that are analysts at other companies say similar sentiments. And so we disagree about that. You know who I want to hear say, quote unquote, running back is our guy?
Tom Brady. Correct.
Yeah. That's when Tom Brady says this running back is my guy. Then you can start going, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's who the starting running back for the Buccaneers is going to be. That's the guy who's going to get the goal line work is whoever Tom wants back there. Now, maybe the fact that they signed Fournette tells you that Brady had said something like, I'm not sure any of these guys are cutting it. Can we find somebody else for me? Gotcha. That may have happened. I have no idea. I'm not reporting that. I'm speculating, but I'm just saying what Bruce Arians says means nothing to me when it comes to the running backs. What Tom Brady says will mean something to me.
This is just the idea, too, that, okay, so we signed a one-year deal, and, like, they're trying to be able to fit within this window. Like we've talked about, Tom Brady is looking to win a championship, and so, like, maybe they utilize Leonard Fournette more this year because they're trying to, I don't know, like, why would they sign him if they liked the guys that they currently had? I got nothing on it.
I have nothing.
I will tell you why. Here's the argument for.
They already had 12 other running backs.
Yeah, but here's the thing. LeSean McCoy may or may not be toast, right? We don't know. Like, sure. there were some beat reporters saying that they weren't sure he was going to make the team.
He's making the team all right.
Huh?
He's making the team all right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, now he is. But I'm just saying at the time, you know, over the last couple of weeks, there have been some people that cover the team that say that they weren't sure McCoy was going to make the team. This is a guy that was the healthy scratch for the Super Bowl. The last NFL game we saw, LeSean McCoy was a healthy scratch for a team that didn't have a lot of depth at the running back position. And, you know, whether it was because of talent or like he missed some time, Keyshawn Vaughn has not impressed so far in camp. So, and obviously they just released Ogunbowale. So their depth, even though we have a lot of names, you're looking at Ronald Jones, you're looking at LeSean McCoy, and there was no one else that maybe they didn't feel that comfortable with.
Right.
Maybe they didn't want Vaughn as their number three back. So Fournette's out there. He's available. He's a veteran. You know, hey, let's bring him in on a deal that's affordable to the team.
Okay. Bite-sized finish here, Daniel.
Josh Gordon re-signs with Seattle on a one-year, $1 million deal, Matthew. News or noise on Josh Gordon?
This is noise, fantasy-wise. He's a big name, but his production fantasy-wise is small. I still think it's a run-first offense. I still think Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are the one and two targets, and it wouldn't surprise me if the tight end position, Greg Olsen and Will Dissly combined, had more target share than Josh Gordon. I think it's a great story. I believe in guys getting second chances. I think it's a good signing depth-wise for Seattle. Fantasy-wise, he's not somebody that I'm targeting to draft at all.
It's noise, and by the way, guys, he's not even reinstated yet. So, like, he's on the team, but
right.
He couldn't play if they played a game today. So, something to keep in mind as well. It's noise. All right. So, here's what we did a couple days ago. We conducted a mock draft that is actually now just going to be the show league, which is cool, right? So, we're going to play a league amongst those of us on the show, not just people you see on the camera, but those behind the screens who really are the people that make this all work.
Yes.
And what we're going to do for those that are listening on the audio version, we are going to read each pick at the top of each round. I'll go through them. Pick by pick, and then we're going to give you sort of the highlights from each round, a notable takeaway, a decision somebody made or did not make. Let's start with round one, of course, and I'm just going to read this to you.
And this is a 10-team league.
Yep.
ESPN standard scoring, one quarterback, 4 points for a touchdown pass, PPR scoring, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, a defense, a kicker, and, of course, one quarterback. Can I read off who's in the league real quick?
Well, how about this?
Go for it.
Okay, just you tell me the person, I'll give you the pick.
Starting with the number one pick, Secret Squirrel, our producer, Daniel Dopp.
He goes with Christian McCaffrey, no surprise. They're at number one.
With a second pick, the star of the show, the most beloved member of the show, a guy that really shows up every single day that is just beloved by everyone. Seriously, a lot of thought people were like, should we name the show after this guy? Matthew Berry had the number two pick.
And goes with Saquon Barkley.
I wish I was a man like you. I am a girly boy.
He went with Saquon Barkley.
So our digital producer, Haley Burns, new to the show this year, she has the third pick.
First time playing fantasy, her first ever pick was Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott went strong there, yes. Number four, our show researcher, everyone loves him, Thirsty Kyle Soppy.
Alvin Kamara.
Yep. So the man who runs our ESPN Fantasy digital content for fantasy football. Not cool, Keith Lipscomb.
He goes with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, first rookie off the board, of course.
I'm not familiar with who number six is. Clay, who is that? Clay?
Andrew Dice Clay.
Is it Andrew Dice Clay?
Could be.
Clay Travis?
Is it Clay?
Calais Campbell. That's who it is.
Clay Thompson. No, just kidding. It's Clay Thompson.
So our good friend Mike Clay is at pick six.
And Dalvin Cook.
Right. He went Dalvin Cook. Our television producer, because we're producing this like a TV show, and more importantly, the partner and the brains behind the Irish Twins in the War Room League, Matt Harrington, at pick seven.
That's right. He goes with Derrick Henry. Nails that one.
I can't pronounce Isaac's last name.
Farabee.
Farabee? Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to... Isaac, who's a digital video producer for us, does a great job, does all the clips, does a great job here for on the show. His second year on the 06-010, he's at pick eight.
And he goes with Michael Thomas, first wide receiver off the board.
Pick nine, your intrepid host, Field Minister Yates.
Kenyon Drake, we'll talk about that one in just a moment. And last, of course, is...
Star Fanya Bell, the queen of the Chateau de Cone.
All right, so Stefania goes with Nick Chubb, and probably the most notable pick in this draft actually was in this round was actually me taking Kenyon Drake ninth overall. And
why did you do that? Because there were some good running backs out there.
Yeah,
available.
There were. So yesterday when we were emailing the topics, I was the first person to respond because I said I fat thumbed this one. I literally was trying to take a different player than Kenyon Drake who I had in my queue, and instead I took Kenyon Drake, and I didn't. Here's the reason why. I didn't push back on. I didn't say pause the draft. First of all, I don't want to be the person that pauses the draft and admits that they took a player they did not want to take. But I actually do like Kenyon Drake as a player. And I thought that if he had been there at pick 12, my second round pick, I would have probably taken him 12th overall. So I was hopeful the player that I had my eyes on would end up being there at pick 12 and ended up working out my favor. But I really like Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, sure. The only question is, are you at all concerned about, you know, the walking boot and the small sample size? But that's around where he goes.
I was going to say, I may not be, but more importantly, is Stefania Bell concerned about Kenyon Drake being in the walking boot? I have not seen him on Twitter recently to update us on his status.
I'm not concerned about the walking boot. He's been doing running, and this is the time of year when they preserve guys for week one. My concern with Kenyon Drake is what we saw for half a season, and we just don't know about the full season workload and how he'll handle it.
All right, Stefania. So that's actually encouraging news for me. Not a lot of surprises in the first round, as we said. I expected Michael Thomas to go off the board eighth. Otherwise, a bunch of running backs. So let's go to round two. And again, I will read the picks in sequential order. Just flip the order in which we read those names in the first round. So Miles Sanders, followed by Austin Eckler. That's me. Joe Mixon. Travis Kelce goes 14th. He goes to Matt Harrington. Josh Jacobs goes to Clay Thompson. Aaron Jones, followed by Devontae Adams. Kyle gets a hometown team for him, a player. And Lamar Jackson is Haley's second pick. He goes 18th overall, about where he's going in terms of ADP on ESPN, followed up by Matthew with George Kittle. And Daniel gets one of Matthew's favorite players, Chris Carson, to end the round. So Haley took Lamar Jackson, Matthew, as I mentioned. Right now on ADP, I think it's like 17.3 for Lamar. So this is consistent with that. Is it too rich of a premium for her to have paid?
I don't think so. I mean, listen, I have him as a mid-third rounder, but if she wanted him, you know, you never know what Secret Squirrel is going to do, right? I mean, you know, he's very secretive, right? That's where the nickname comes from. And in fact, Lamar Jackson, if you watch the Fantasy Football Marathon, when we did our draft there, Daniel also had a high pick, and he took Lamar Jackson, I believe, in the second round there.
Right. Accurate.
So Haley, if she wanted Lamar Jackson, knew that she had to basically take him there. There was a chance that Secret Squirrel might have sniped her.
I'm also told Secret Squirrel has an exclusive quote from Haley Burns. I'm told he's going to read it in a New Zealand accent. Is that part accurate or no?
No, that part is not accurate.
We really need.
Do you
Haley
want Matthew to
microphone.
Try it instead?
Do you want? Can you do a New Zealand accent, Matthew?
No, I can't.
Okay.
All right.
I can barely do. I can't even do a haka. All right. Go ahead. What do we got? What did Haley say?
All right. Because I didn't want anyone else to have him, everyone told me to run. I can't even do this. Because I didn't want
Hagrid.
Anyone else to have him. I told everyone that I was going to load up on running backs, so I thought I'd get a 2-for-1 in quarterbacks and running back. I can't do it. I can't do accents, guys.
You sound like Hagrid from Harry Potter.
That's
right
so
there.
Bad.
Well, it's interesting, though, that she brings up running backs there because, yeah, I mean, like, so it got to me at 15, you know, or my second pick, I should say, my second pick in round two, so pick 19, and all the running backs had gone.
Right.
Just super annoying. Like, I have to tell you something. If you ever want to do an annoying draft, talk about fantasy football with a group of nine people for like a month and a half straight and then try to do a draft with them.
Yeah.
You know, like about all the players you love, you hate, all your sleepers, all your draft strategy, and then try to do a draft with them. Yeah. Like, it was super annoying. This is like I've done a lot of drafts. This was super annoying because I got sniped left and right and backwards.
Because you're the
forwards.
Only one that takes good players, Matthew.
That's right.
Like, guys,
that's right.
Hold on.
I am the only. Well,
may
until
we
you learned my strategy of taking good players, you were taking bad players. Yeah. And then you started sniping me with taking the good players.
I offer you my thoughts and prayers during this trying time in your fantasy career. I know that nothing has gone right for you as it pertains to fantasy football. Throughout your illustrious 72 years playing it.
One of these days, I'm going to catch a break. But anyway, my point
is. Was it this difficult when you were drafting in the AFL?
Oh, 1,000%. You know, the
Otto
computer,
Graham always got passed in the third round.
Oh my! Do you know how many times I got snaked on YA Tittle? So, at any rate, what I was going to say is that I thought that I would be reaching for a running back at the point.
Right.
I thought I would be reaching for a running back. I know wide receiver is really deep. So I went ahead and got George Kittle as my second pick in the first round. I already have Saquon Barkley. So just in terms of roster construction, I have Saquon.
Yeah.
And at the first round, I could have gone Saquon or Zeke. I have them flip-flop, but I mean, I have them interchangeable is what I mean. Sure. I went with Saquon, maybe a little more upside. We think Zeke has a higher floor. But basically, by doing that, all I need to do is figure out running back two.
All right.
Right? Saquon's going to start for me every week except for one.
Gotcha.
But just so I think when you have one of those first couple of running backs that are so rock solid, you don't necessarily need to have a second running back. You don't have to force it, which is what I didn't want to do. So that's why I went with Kittle, who I think is, you know, in a tier by, you know, himself and Kelsey.
So it's funny that like we scripted out what we were going to talk about in each round, and that had nothing to do with what we were going to get to during the second round. So instead, we'll ask Daniel about Chris Carson, because Matthew is sort of convinced that the bottom falls out from that tier one of running backs pretty soon. But you liked him enough, Chris Carson, to use your second pick on him, number 20 overall.
I liked him enough, and I looked at what was available to me at the running back position, because I'm picking, I mean, I'm 101, right? So I've got a lot of picks before it comes back to me again. If I want to shore up that second running back, I'm trying to look at and project ahead, all right, of the running backs who are currently available, how many of them that I like do I think are going to make it back to me? And the answer was none of them that I actually wanted. So I realize this may have been quote-unquote a reach for Chris Carson, but for me, I liked being able to get him here to shore up that number two running back spot with the depth at wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't know that it's much of a reach in my opinion as well, because I think ultimately in a perfect world, I am walking away with two running backs in my first two picks. All right, let's go to round three right now.
I will say off of that, I probably would have taken him in the third round had he fallen to me. I mean, you went 15 picks ahead of ADP for Chris Carson.
Correct.
But I have him higher. I have him closer to where you drafted in my overall ranks. And the other thing is, just remember when you're drafting on the turn like that, like if you wanted Chris Carson, he wasn't coming back to you. So you had to, quote unquote, reach for him. But the fact is that he most likely was not getting back to you in 20 picks. So you needed to grab him. That's just, it's something you need to do and sort of get in your mind when you're drafting on the turn like that, is that ADP doesn't mean nearly as much to you as it may to other people because there's so long between picks.
All right, let's go to round three. I'm going to read these players slowly so that everybody can follow along. DeAndre Hopkins is the first pick of the third round, and then Tyreek Hill, followed by Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin is the 25th overall pick in the draft, followed by his teammate, Mike Evans. Patrick Mahomes comes off the board 27th. That goes to Matt Harrington, DJ Moore, Kenny Galladay, and then Mark Andrews. So in this entire round of 10 picks, zero running backs are taken. Julio Jones, believe it or not, falling to Kyle at pick 24. That feels like some pretty impressive value. I don't know if Kyle can see us or hear us right now, but were you anticipating Julio Jones being available at pick 24?
Sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
His microphone cut out.
Oh, no.
There we go.
All right. We're good. My goal was I wanted running backs early. Davante Adams was the second round. I got Julio to fall to me in the third. That gives me two of the five top-ranked guys in terms of receptions and receiving yards per game over the last 2 years. What's not to like? I have Adams, Julio, without you know, the expense of not getting an RB1.
Yeah, the running back headache you might have with trying to find your second running back is offset by the fact that you're counting on probably 35-ish points per week from your two top wide receivers, and in weeks it might be closer to 50 points, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a high floor and obviously a high ceiling with both those guys. Sure. There's no question about that. You know, I thought one thing that was interesting here is that I would have thought about doing where I took Kittle in the second round. Had Kelce fallen to me, one thing I was thinking about was I would have done a Kelce Mahomes stack.
Which is
But Matt Harrington took Kelce in the middle of the second round, and so I went, you know, I went Kittle, and then you see there, you know, I got Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But he stacked Patrick Mahomes. So Matt Harrington was able to get Kelce in the second and come back around, and Mahomes fell to him in the third, I believe, at pick 27.
Once again, the intrepid reporter, Daniel Dopp, has a quote from the great Matt Harrington.
So the reason is, I've been intrigued with the Mahomes-Kelce stack from a mid-round position, so once I had Henry, I felt okay overspending on Kelce in the second and just hoping that Mahomes fell to the late third. So when Haley took Lamar, I was sweating that plan was blown, but I got lucky and he came to me.
Okay, so I agree with the rationale all the way around. We sort of walked through the tight end early scenario a few weeks ago with George Kittle going in the second round, and it often turns out that you can get a premium player at running back, tight end, and quarterback if you go that direction early in your draft. Let's go to round four.
And he, by the way, he could have had that not worked out, whatever. He still got Travis Kelce.
Right.
Like, had somebody had Haley decided on Mahomes instead of Lamar Jackson or something like that, he'd have still been fine, obviously. So it's just, it's a specific strategy that he tried, and I'm okay with it. Like, if you're going to stack, Mahomes and Kelce is a pretty good place to start.
Certainly a good idea to have as many Chiefs as possible. Daniel, before we get to round four, I believe you have a word from one of our good friends.
The football season is less than 10 days away, with the reigning champ set to take the field to kick off the season, and there is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate week one of the fantasy football season, DraftKings is putting you in the center of the action with two shots at a $1 million top prize. Two shots at $1 million. So you get in on all of the action right now. Making it rain with DraftKings is easy. Draft your team, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for yards, touchdowns, and so much more. On top of that amazing offer, DraftKings is giving away a share of up to $100 million in prizes to all users who enter their free football survivor pool. All you have to do is sign up for DraftKings, enter their survival pool, and you'll instantly get a share of up to $100 million in giveaways. With all this cash up for grabs, there is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now. Use the promo code FOCUS to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. And for a limited time, get your share of $100 million in prizes once you enter the DraftKings free survivor pool. That's promo code FOCUS to get in on all of the action for a limited time only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And yes, CSSDFS is coming back this year. We will see you guys in week one. Me, Mike Clay, and Al Zeidenfeld bringing a season long of DFS podcasting action your way.
What, ZFS?
CSS.
CSS. Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle.
Yes, CSSDFS.
Who's Clay?
Yeah, exactly.
Still haven't figured that part out. Let's go to round Clay, four, and remember,
is it Clay Smizzle and Squirrel or Clay Sizzle and Skill? Clay Squirrel.
Just leave it. Just drop it. Next, yep. Going to round four. Round three.
Who's second? I just want to know who gets second building.
I'll give it to Al.
Okay, yeah. Round four. Here we go. Remember, there were zero running backs taken in round three. Round four starts with Allen Robinson, Adam Thielen, Cortland Sutton, Juju Smith-Schuster, Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, David Johnson, Kareem Hunt, Robert Woods, and Melvin Gordon to Daniel to close things out in round four. So once again, here we are, six wide receivers to begin. That's 16 of 18 picks for wide receivers.
And think about some of the names there. If you can flash that back up for those of us watching on the live stream here. I mean, look at some of the names here that are going in the
That's actually round five, so we can go back to round four if possible.
But
we'll get it in a second.
You know, but in
Adam Thielen, Robert Woods,
Calvin Ridley,
Amari Cooper, Cooper right. Cup. That's a very, very good group of
round
wide receivers.
Four.
Yep,
so
here it is,
right.
Right
so there you go. Cortland Sutton, Juju, Amari, Ridley, Robert Woods. I got Robert Woods as the ninth pick of fourth round.
Yeah.
I mean, again, guy's been a top 14 fantasy wide receiver the last 2 years.
Probably reminds us, again, this is why we tell you, take running backs early if you can, unless it's Michael Thomas. And Haley, our noted Browns fan, took Odell in the third, and then Kareem Hunt here in the fourth. You know, it's important, Matthew. One of the lessons I always talk about in the 9 or 10 rules or 8 rules of drafting that I write each summer is to know your league as best you can, right? Yeah. So if you've got a Browns homer in your league who might prioritize Odell or Kareem Hunt or other players, maybe it's worth, if you're targeting them, going a little bit early because you can take advantage of your potential league mate's interest in those players.
So she's a noted Browns fan, and she sent me a text. My note for drafting Browns players, only team to have sent me free stuff. So there you go.
That's actually really good rationale.
It is. But the truth is that...
That's also a call to action.
Even though she went Browns heavy, like I got no issue with taking Odell Beckham Jr., you know, in the third round. And I have no problem taking Kareem Hunt towards the end of the fourth, especially after Thirsty Kyle sniped me on David Johnson.
This wasn't Farrow Cooper or something like that in the third round, right?
Yeah, it wasn't. She didn't reach on Rashad Higgins, you know? Right. Like,
well, she also wasn't done with Browns. We'll get to that in just a moment. But one thing I will say, I think I like the strategy. This is a call to action.
Right.
Hey, Packers, Jaguars, Patriots, Cardinals, Washington football team, Giants, you want your players to get taken in next year's mock draft? Send Haley Byrne some swag.
Yeah.
It's easy.
I thought you were going to say just send us some swag. Why is Haley getting all the stuff?
Because she was the one that just said that she
picked
up. No,
but she's got her Brown swag. Why can't I get Washington's free swag?
Well, because you're not picking players because you have the swag.
Yeah, because I don't have the swag. Okay. Give me the swag and I'll pick the players. All right, comes first? It's the chicken or the egg here. Duh, Field.
Okay.
Listen, why are you going to buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? You know what I'm saying? Like, no, you got to you make them earn it.
That is a saying.
It is a saying. It's a song.
It's a saying about something else.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything else here.
Who did
Let's
Bad
move
to the
on
Bone?
To round
who
five.
Who sang that song? Do you remember Bad to the Bone? George
Bad
Thurgood.
To the Bone is George Thurgood.
George Thurgood had
and
a song.
And the Destroyers.
That was, okay. Yeah.
And you're thinking, you're thinking about the Georgia Satellites and Keep Your Hands to Yourself.
Yes.
Which is, that group is the Georgia Satellites.
Gotcha.
George Thurgood and the Destroyers do sing Bad to the Bone, the different groups.
Da-na-na-na-na-na. Round five, here we go. We'll read it again, top to bottom. AJ Brown, Todd Gurley, Jarvis Landry to Haley, another Brown, Zach Ertz, Cam Akers, Jonathan Taylor, Le'Veon Bell, Tyler Lockett, James Conner, and then Matthew's little Cooper Cup to finish off round five.
And if we can keep this graphic up for just a second, guys, I think what's interesting here is, so now in round five, and again, just to talk about the importance of trying to take a running back early, look at the running backs that are going in round five, right? So it's Todd Gurley. I took Todd Gurley. We'll talk about him in a second. But Mike Clay takes Jonathan Taylor, who we like, but question marks about playing time, right? Keith Lipscomb takes Cam Akers. We like him, but question marks about playing time. You took James Conner. Question marks about health, right? And so, I mean, there's like Le'Veon Bell. Harrington takes Le'Veon Bell. Question marks about health and playing time and offense and, you know, a lot of questions.
Yeah.
The only question is, and when's his rap album coming out? Apparently he's got a new one. Le'Veon does. That's what the Twitter machine says. But then you look at some of those wide receivers, right? I mean, again, Tyler Lockett's going in that round. My little Cooper Kupp going in that round. Like, you'd rather make those decisions in the fifth round. You'd rather be deciding, oh, I'll take Cooper Kupp here and Tyler Lockett, rather than if I squint my eyes, I can talk myself into Le'Veon Bell. You know what I mean? Like, I had to talk myself into Todd Gurley at the top of this list. And for me, he was the last guy left that I thought has the backfield all to himself. And if he can stay healthy, doesn't have a lot of competition, it should be a good offense. He played 15 games last year. He's on a 1-year prove it deal. Again, I'm trying to talk myself into it a little bit, but
we mentioned this yesterday. They managed him through last year, and he played every game except for one, as you mentioned. I'm so wrapped. I mean, between Le'Veon Bell and the Foo Fighters, soon out to be album drop, like musical icons are making it happen in 2020.
Yeah.
So we do have more exclusive sound. Daniel was all over it yesterday from both Keith and Mike on taking rookie running backs ahead of some of the proven vets that were still available, like James Conner or a Le'Veon Bell.
Right. So this is Mike Clay. I have all four players close and already the two running backs on my roster.
Wow.
I aimed for a high ceiling with a rookie, Taylor. Taylor, who went multiple rounds later than he usually does, I simply don't trust Le'Veon Bell to sustain the volume he saw in 2019 or perhaps even a starting gig for all of 2020. Connor's durability questions and the depth of the Steelers running back room give me pause. That is Mike Clay.
I agree with Mike.
Keith Lipscomb said, for me, I already had two running backs I trust to have a good season in CEH and Jones. Akers is my sleeper running back from the column we did earlier this year. Keith is a company man. Because I love what he was able to do in a terrible situation at Florida State, and because I think Sean McVay will take advantage of his skill set in what should be a very good offense. While Bell and Connor might be deemed as safer picks, they weren't as appealing to me.
Do you think, by the way, that's also why Keith is so fond of you, Daniel? You're able to do a great job in a terrible situation?
Probably. Yeah. I'm able to do a mediocre job in a terrible situation. I don't even think I do a great job. Mediocre job. Yeah.
But you raise above the material.
Yeah, I don't hustle too hard, man.
No.
Hustle hard. All right, so let's move along here.
By the way, promo code NOHUSTLE gets you 10% off on rotopass.com.
Wow.
Just so you know.
That is awesome. NOHUSTLE.
NOHUSTLE, because it's the last weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
It's the last weekend before, you know, like,
smart,
yes.
Smart.
Promo code NOHUSTLE, all
I've done nothing for the past 6 months. I'm going to cram for the exam over this upcoming Labor weekend. All right, let's go to round six. And again, top to bottom. This is one more, if we could slide one more to round six. Here we go. Terry McLaurin of Washington goes first, and then Evan Ingram, followed by DeAndre Swift, Devin Singletary, Darren Waller, DK Metcalf, DJ Chark, AJ Green, so back-to-back-to-back players with two initials for a first name, Raheem Mostert, and then T.Y. Hilton, another two initial for a first name player to finish it off to Daniel Dopp.
Again, great wide receivers in this round when you think about Metcalf and Chark and, yeah, and McLaurin, who broke Stefania breaks my heart by stealing my Terry McLaurin.
Right.
AJ Green, who you've talked up, you know, nice value there for Haley. But here's my question for you, Field. You took, at tight end, you took Evan Ingram, the very talented but off-injured Evan Ingram, when Darren Waller was still on the board, which right, is not how ADP goes. Your thoughts on that decision?
So I actually have him ahead of Darren Waller, my rankings. I'm the only person at ESPN who has Ingram ahead of Waller, and he's been a training camp star. Remember that last year he was one of just six players to have at least six targets in every game that he played last season. And, you know, I don't know how much of his previous injury history is predictive going forward. Stefania can chime in on that, but also Stefania and Rico, the lovely Rico, you may be able to tell us what was your thinking in taking Terry McLaurin ahead of Matthew Berry and how satisfying it was to Scott Clarkham.
But to be honest, Matthew broke my heart much earlier when I took George Kittle. So it was only fair.
Wow.
To return the favor. Stefania,
can you please just
McLaurin.
Feed Rico? Why,
feed yeah, the dog.
Will you please?
Why are you
love
like,
your dog
Rico,
for a second,
Rico
Stefania?
Honestly, the fact
Rico
that you
is,
like body
Rico
shame
is,
Rico and you told me he's
oh
going to die
gosh,
is outrageous.
Oh my gosh. What?
Just pick him up and just pet
what?
Him for a second, Stefania. Just give
Stefania,
him some
just
love.
Give him some love for the. I mean, like, you're just like,
that's,
I've seen you.
You
like,
know what?
Yeah. You know, you're just so mean to Rico,
Rico,
and you're like, oh, you little fatty. And you body
no.
shame him, and you don't feed him, and now he barks. Like, what are you doing? Stefania, it's so cruel.
No, he's upset that you stole George Kittle. Rico knows that 49ers belong with him.
Yeah. Good boy,
see,
Rico. I love your barking.
For emphasis.
You get extra treats today as
good
far
boy.
As I'm concerned.
Super loyal.
All right, let's move on to round seven
super
then.
Super loyal.
Yeah.
By the way, breaking news here. I got an alert.
ESPN Radio. Okay.
I hope it was breaking worth it, Matthew, because I hit the button.
The Buccaneers have waived running back Raymond Calais.
Okay.
So there you go. That running back room that was so crowded yesterday.
How dare you? I wasted a breaking news drop on that.
We've wasted a breaking news drop on much worse than that. On much lamer than that.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I got one too.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you got?
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. Hold on. I mean, you're never.
Wait a second.
Nose?
Field, are you serious?
Big news?
They've got a turkey club baguette special at the cafeteria today.
Wow.
I'm into that.
Do we need to stop the podcast? That is amazing.
Listen, if I can go get it, I will leave and go get one.
Okay, let's go to round seven.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Round seven is the quarterback round. It starts with Daniel taking Kyler Murray.
Yep.
Michael Gallup to Matthew. Ronald Jones. Mark Ingram. Dak Prescott. Keenan Allen. Tyler Boyd. Deshaun Watson. Hollywood Brown and Deebo Samuel to Stefania to close off the round. So we saw three quarterbacks go after just two quarterbacks going up earlier or so far into the draft. Actually, a pretty good value here for Daniel and Kyler Murray.
I actually really liked this. Being able to get Kyler here, a guy that I feel like is a top five quarterback to pair with CMC and everything else that I got. I was trying really hard to wait on quarterback, but once I got to this round and I saw who was still there, I was like, it felt like a really great spot for me to kick off this quarterback run. Also, just to note for me, Haley took this pick of Ronald Jones before the Leonard Fournette stuff had come out. So I just want to make sure that was very clear.
Yeah, good to note that. Yeah, I mean, like I'd be thrilled. Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson to Isaac. I'd be thrilled with any of those guys in the seventh round.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing value. Again, it just sort of shows, like, you know, again, I understand the thought process behind Haley and Matt Harrington taking Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, respectively. But when you sit here and you say, like, would you rather that in the second or third, or Dak or Murray or Watson in the seventh?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's pretty amazing. By the way, with all the nonsense of Rico, I don't know that we necessarily ever got your why you have Ingram over Waller thing. I think we got a whole thing. You know, we didn't get into Stefania whether she thinks.
Well, as I said, he's one of six players with at least six targets in every game last season. He's been a training camp star. He's an explosive player who also is now playing for a contract. He has two years left, but still, the tight end market exploded this offseason.
We need to find out about the health on Ingram, but what was interesting to me here is Stefania took Deebo Samuel here.
That's right, in the midst of a five straight wide receivers picks for you, Stefania. And I don't want to spoil round eight, but you followed up Deebo Samuel with Will Fuller. I was in the chat saying, are you okay? Oh, Rico made it on
Rico.
TV. Hello, Rico. You can talk about whatever you want, but if it ends up just being out Rico, that's okay too.
Yes, well, Rico came to defend me because he knew that you guys were about to attack me for taking these injured wide receivers. Well, I decided I had pretty much rounded out in the main people I needed on my team, so why not go all in on the high-risk, high-upside wide receivers? And to be fair, Deebo Samuel, who at the start of the preseason we thought might not start the season on the active roster, he might be on the PUP list, has been looking really good. And we just heard in the last week that in addition to doing straight line running, he was doing sharp cutting, planting, pivoting, the things that really test you after a Jones fracture. And just this week, Kyle Shanahan saying he hopes that he can be available by week one. We were not expecting that originally. And here's the thing. I don't think if he is available week one, he gets a full complement of snaps. Rico is bored by this conversation. But I do think that Deebo Samuel is the type of player who can be productive for you even if he's working in a limited role. So I might not even play him on my fantasy team in week one and just see how they're using him. But I know I don't have to wait 6 weeks anymore.
All right, Stefania, color me impressed. I now feel more confident taking Deebo Samuel or Will Fuller because of Stefania taking those players.
1,000%. And by the way, Deebo Samuel, I think, is going to be a great bargain in a lot of drafts this weekend because people are still concerned about the injury and that, you know, as Stefania mentioned, that it seemed a lot worse. Like, if Deebo Samuel's coming back anytime soon, and it appears he is, he's going to be a rock star. He's going to be the number one wide receiver in that offense. He's going to be the number two pass catcher behind Kittle. I love the talent of Deebo Samuel. So I think he will go way late in drafts.
All right, let's move forward to round eight. But first, a word from our friends at Coors Light, because what do you do when you need a moment to chill? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Don't miss the new packaging from Coors Light. It's already hitting the shelves. The new design features clear skies that invite you to sit back, unwind, and drink it all in. And the iconic Coors Light mountains still turn blue when your beer is as cold as the Rockies. It's a brand new look with the same ice-cold refreshment. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. If I could for 1 second, this is amazing. It's going to be 90 degrees in Colorado for the next 3 days, and it's going to snow and be 38 on Tuesday.
No way.
Ridiculous. It's the most insane state. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a crazy state.
Crazy state.
Very great state as well.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com today or just stop by.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, so we go to round eight, and we read these players again from top to bottom. Will Fuller, as I mentioned to Stefania, Stephon Diggs, David Montgomery, Julian Edelman, Russell Wilson, Devontae Parker, Marvin Jones, Tyler Higbee, Tom Brady, and Brandon Cooks rounds it out. And I'll start by mentioning this. I was the one that took Stephon Diggs. You know what else I said yesterday?
What'd you do?
Stephon Diggs was my chicken player. And so for those of you that are saying, like, yeah, but like, what are you doing? He can't be your chicken player while you also take him.
Yeah, where's the continuity?
I mentioned this earlier in the preseason, but one thing that I've realized in recent years is that as much as we study and prepare and analyze for the season all during the offseason, there are a lot of things that are going to happen that are going to surprise us, and everything is out of our control. So one thing I've tried to train myself to do is that even if there are a lot of warning signs that I don't want to draft a player, I don't really want to go with zero exposure to a player who I know is really talented. And Stephon Diggs is super talented. And what if instead of, you know, the deep ball accuracy being an issue for Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs scores 12 touchdowns this year? He's fully capable of that. That's the thinking there. Just to give you a little peek behind the curtain as to why I would take a flyer on a guy who I also called my chicken player yesterday. You took Tom Brady, Matthew. It was you who grabbed him in the round eight. You've been sort of, you're pretty broke. Pro Brady.
Very pro Brady. And I have him in the same tier. And I think I'm an outlier on this. So okay. In the same, I think Mahomes and Jackson are obviously their own tier.
Yeah.
And then I think Kyler, Dak, Watson, Wilson, and Brady are the next tier. I think he's towards the end of that tier, obviously, but I still think he's still in that same QB. And I think most people would have him in the next tier.
Okay.
But so I have him there. I was really hoping Wilson would slide to me. Mike Clay snagged him a few picks before I was able to go. But I'm all in on Brady. I think Brady has a big year.
Typically a good strategy.
Yeah.
Let's get to round nine. We got a couple of rounds and just a few minutes left here. So again, round nine at the very top of the round is Kerryon Johnson to Daniel. He goes for the home team. Then J.K. Dobbins, Tariq Cohen, Latavius Murray, Noah Fant, Zach Moss, Sterling Shepard, Jamison Crowder, Matt Ryan is my quarterback, and Josh Allen is Starfanya's. But I want to ask Kyle. Kyle, you took Latavius Murray after taking Alvin Kamara. Was the plan all along to do this, and did you feel like you reached a little bit as a result of that for Latavius?
Happy to reach for him. I mean, he went over 30 points the two times he filled in for Kamara. And at this point, we're nine rounds in. I'm comfortable with my depth across the board. I just want to secure that backfield. After Matthew took Dobbins and I have Ingram, it really made my choice easy.
Yeah, and also, of course, you don't have a quarterback yet, Kyle, so your patience is paying off here. I love the idea of taking Latavius Murray if you have Alvin Kamara, even if you don't. We've talked about how much value he would have, as Kyle just illustrated, with 30-plus points in each of his two games that he started. Let's go to the
1,000%.
Last.
I picked Dobbins, by the way. You saw some upside running backs there going that round. Just absolutely love Dobbins. One quick question for you. Did you consider taking Josh Allen instead of Matt Ryan, especially since you had already gotten Diggs the round before? Did you think about stacking those guys?
Yeah, I've got them ranked right next to each other. I ended up taking Matt Ryan in part just because of, like, you know, if I'm going to fail twice, I don't think Josh Allen's going to fail this year, but a little bit of like risk management
right.
There.
Interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
I did the opposite.
Went more floor than ceiling.
Correct. In that case, floor over ceiling at my quarterback spot, understanding that there's actually a case to go ceiling over floor, because if Josh Allen doesn't work out, you take somebody else or you pick one up off the waiver wire after week one. All right, last round that we're going to get to here is round 10. Again, I'll read it off top to bottom. Henry Ruggs III goes to Stefania. Christian Kirk, Hunter Henry, Philip Lindsay, Mike Klytek's Alexander Mattison. He grabbed Dalvin Cook in the first round. Tony Pollard, Jordan Howard, Rob Gronkowski, Deontay Johnson, and then Preston Williams, the last pick, 100 overall. That goes to Daniel Dopp. Mike felt obligated to take Alexander Mattison. Do you have an exclusive quote on this, Daniel?
Do I, about Preston Williams?
No, about Alexander Mattison from Mike Clay.
So Mike did say something about Alexander Mattison. I have it right here.
Okay,
obviously.
Gotcha.
He said, the reason I took him is because I took Dalvin Cook with my first pick, so Mattison was on my radar the whole way. I was worried someone might reach on him because of the Cook's holdout rumors, but I still didn't want to hurt my team by reaching. Fortunately, he was there in round 10, and I pounced. Considering the value of who went just after him, Pollard, Howard, and Gronkowski, I didn't lose much value, though if I didn't have Cook rostered, I likely would have gone with Deontay Johnson or Preston Williams here instead.
That was a soliloquy from Mike. Well said. I'm going to get Stefania in here on her pick of Henry Ruggs III. I hope Rico is still on your lap, Stefania. Oh, he's not. I miss him already. We've talked about the Raiders and upside, and I've been stating the case for Henry Ruggs as the upside receiver. It seems that you feel the same way amongst the likes of also Hunter Renfro and, of course, Bryan Edwards and other players on that roster.
Yeah, I took him in our fantasy marathon draft, too. I love the upside of Ruggs. I loved it before, but now you've got Tyrell Williams, who's been placed on IR. And I think that the Raiders, who have been very happy with how he's been performing in training camp thus far, will absolutely use him. And I think he has growth potential across the season. So, yeah, nothing but upside here for me.
And he can certainly fly. Stefania, we're going to do trivia in just a moment. You are allowed to consult Rico on trivia. If he gets it right, he gets one extra bone today. All right, quickly, we're going to look at each of our rosters at our starters, Matthew. So we'll flash them across the full screen and read them for those that are listening on the audio. Tom Brady, Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, Tyreek Hill, Robert Woods, George Kittle, and Raheem Mostert out of the two slot here. Pretty good looking team.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, I'm chasing that second running back. So between Mostert and Gurley, I have some guys. Like, I also got Michael Gallup.
Now with Gurley's knees, you're not chasing that second running back.
And I have Michael Gallup, who I would most likely play in my utility spot. I ended up getting him later. So, like the team, it's an upside team. Brady's my only quarterback that I took as well, because I think of the depth position. If something happens to Brady, I'll just go to the waiver wire.
All right, my team here is as follows. Matt Ryan, Kenyon Drake, Austin Eckler, Kenny Galladay, Adam Thielen, Evan Ingram. Utility player in this slot is listed as James Conner. Also have Hollywood Brown, amongst others, available to me. So I had the 9th overall pick. I like the roster, of course, going RB to begin is good. Quickly going to flash some other starters, and we're also going to turn right to trivia, Geico trivia. And I don't know who is. Well, let's get the standings first.
Okay, yeah, Kyle's going to read it.
Here are the standings, though, before we get to it. What do you got, Kyle? Tell us everything we need to know about Geico trivia.
I got you covered. The standings full screen here. You can see Stefania Bell has taken the lead. She's got 6, Matthew with 5, Field with 3. Matthew mentioned it's the last day of the offseason, so we're going to do a little Final Jeopardy style. You get to wager up to however many points you have. So Field up to 3, Matthew 5, Stefania 6. You have to have the wager in before I ask the question.
Okay.
Write down how many it is. You don't need to say it to us. Write down how many it is so it's clear, and then you guys will answer the question. Okay. We'll see it.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Matthew, you writing down? Matthew wrote down. Stefania, have you written down?
Yes, I'm writing.
It doesn't sound like you have.
It does.
All right, there we go. Now it does. All right.
All right, so we're good. Here's the question. Terry McLaurin went over 900 yards with 7 touchdown receptions last year. I want you to name for me the last Washington football receiver to do that in a year.
Matthew Berry does not get this right first.
I tried. I'm trying to help him out.
I know. It's not fair. Kyle, that's not fair to give a question that is like to the homer of the team.
If he gets Stefania, it wrong, he gets to, his
I
wager
only have
goes
one
doubled.
Choice.
His brain is made of cottage cheese and jelly pudding.
Hey,
Stefania and Rico have first dibs. How many points did you wager and who'd you guess?
We do.
Yeah. Sure.
I think as the leader, I should go last.
Okay, like fine. Last place, so I'll go first instead. I wagered 3 points, all three that I have to my name. No risk it. Santana Moss is my pick, and it's probably wrong.
That's a good one, though. All right.
Ooh.
I risked 4, and I went with Pierre Garçon.
Ooh, that's a good guess, too.
Someone's going down to zero, then.
Ooh, that was my other choice.
Stefania, who was your main choice?
Who is it?
Wait,
you have to guess.
Who did you guess?
What?
Who did you guess?
DeSean Jackson.
Oh, how many points did you guess?
Interesting. Okay. Three good guesses.
How many did you wager?
We've got three different guesses.
Five.
Wow, we have a new leader. Field Yates is coming from way behind in the pack. Santana Moss, 2005, the last receiver to do it. Field Yates leads the way with 6 overall points right now.
You gotta be kidding. It wasn't Pierre Garçon?
Is it one?
Pierre Garçon went for 1,300, but he only had 5 scores.
Decisively.
Only 5 touchdowns.
Lead. Let's go. All right, we got to go soon. We are coming back.
He didn't do it there.
Safaya, I'm so sorry. You get to hang out with Rico for the rest of the day as your consolation. We are back on Tuesday. We're going to recap all the news from the weekend and get you ready for week 1 of the NFL season. Let's go for everybody on field. There's Matthew. There's Daniel. Safaya, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Maybe not soon. I'm bitter about that loss.
Just say the thing.
Peace out.